This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Sturbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the July 16th and July 17th editions. This is Dave Russell. Our first story, Town of Charlton accepting applications for Opioid Settlement Funds Grant Program. The Town of Charlton is accepting applications for funding through the town's Opioid Settlement Funds Grant Program. The purpose of the program is to support initiatives that prevent opioid misuse, expand access to treatment and recovery services, reduce the harms associated with substance use disorders, and improve the health and well-being of Charlton residents. Funding is made available through the town's allocation of National Opioid Settlement Funds and must be used for eligible purposes consistent with applicable settlement agreements and guidance. Funding may be requested to a maximum of $2,500 per applicant. Final awards will be distributed based on available funding, as well as demonstrated need and community impact. Eligible applicants may include nonprofit organizations, educational institutions, healthcare providers, community-based organizations, and other organizations serving Charlton residents. Projects may include, but are not limited to, prevention and education programs, treatment and recovery support services, harm reduction initiatives, first responder or public safety initiatives related to opioid response, behavioral health and mental services, community outreach and support programs, and data collection, evaluation, and other evidence-based strategies that address opioid use disorder. Applications will be evaluated based on demonstrated community need, alignment with eligible opioid settlement uses, measurable outcomes, organizational capacity, and the anticipated impact on Charlton residents. Completed applications and all required supporting documentation for the first round of this grant program must be submitted by August 31st. Late or incomplete applications may not be considered. Our next story, investigation leads to Charlton man's arrest. On Wednesday, July 1st, members of the Charlton Police Department assisted the Massachusetts State Police in the execution of a search warrant and an arrest warrant on Dresser Hill Road in the town of Charlton. The warrant stemmed from an investigation conducted by the Portsmouth, Rhode Island Police Department with assistance from several units of the Massachusetts State Police, including the Cyber Crimes Unit, the Special Tactical Operations Team, and Crime Scene Services. As a result of the investigation, a 25-year-old Charlton man was arrested without incident at the Massachusetts State Police Barracks in Sturbridge on charges originating in Rhode Island. He was arraigned later that day in Dudley District Court. The individual also faces Massachusetts charges resulting from the execution of the search warrant. The individual arrested in connection with this investigation is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Now we turn to Shepherd Hill, where students are hosting Tackle the Stigma 5K to promote mental health awareness. The Shepherd Hill Regional High School Cheerleading Program, in partnership with the Dudley Charlton Regional School District community, is inviting residents to lace up their running shoes and help break down barriers surrounding mental health during the annual Tackle the Stigma 5K and 2.5K Walk and Run on Saturday, September 27th. The event will begin at 10 a.m. at the Shepherd Hill football field and is designed to raise awareness about mental health and mental wellness while encouraging open conversations throughout the local community. Organizers hope participants of all ages will come together to demonstrate support for those facing mental health challenges and reinforce the message that no one has to struggle alone. This event is very important to us as we work to raise awareness about mental health and mental wellness throughout our local community. That was the word from organizers in announcing the event. The Walk and Run carries the theme, Run Toward Awareness, Stand Up for Support, and Tackle the Stigma 1 mile at a time, reflecting its focus on education, compassion, and community involvement. Mental health advocates continue to emphasize the importance of reducing the stigma surrounding anxiety, depression, and other mental health conditions, which can often prevent individuals from seeking help. Community events such as Tackle the Stigma aim to create a welcoming environment where conversations about mental wellness are encouraged and support resources are highlighted. In addition to providing an opportunity for exercise and community engagement, the event serves as a reminder that mental health is an important part of overall well-being. Organizers hope the day will inspire participants to check in with friends, family members, and neighbors while promoting a culture of understanding and acceptance. The Shepherd Hill cheerleaders have made mental health a priority, using the event to unite students, families, and educators. By bringing together participants from across Dudley, Charlton, and surrounding communities, they hope to build momentum for ongoing conversations that extend well beyond race day. Whether participants choose the full 5-kilometer course or the shorter 2.5-kilometer walk and run, organizers say every step represents a commitment to supporting mental wellness and reminds those who may be struggling that help is available. Registration information and additional event details are expected to be available through Shepherd Hill Regional High School and the Dudley-Charlton Regional School District as the event approaches. Now we have a photo story from the front page of the Southbridge Evening News. Recently, three members of the Charlton Fire Department completed a 3-day boat operator course conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The course provided members with essential knowledge and hands-on skills needed to safely trailer, launch, recover, and operate the department's boat during emergency situations. Marine One is frequently deployed in support of dive team operations, water rescues, searches, and other emergencies in or near the water. This training helps ensure our members are prepared to operate safely and effectively when called upon. We thank the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for continuing to provide this valuable training and for allowing Charlton Fire Department members to attend each year. The photo showed two officers on the department's vessel. Next, we look at some upcoming events in our area. First, from Fiskdale, St. Anne St. Patrick Parish and Shrine invites the public to the 139th Annual Novena to St. Anne, taking place Saturday, July 18th through Sunday, July 26th. The Novena offers 9 days of prayer, worship, and fellowship, bringing together Catholics from many cultures and communities throughout New England. This year's theme is One in Christ, United in Mission, which reflects the diversity of the Church and the unity we share through our faith, said Father Salvador Musande, pastor. As diverse as we might be, we share in the common mission of the Church, making missionary disciples, he added. Everyone is welcome to attend one day, several days, or the entire novena. For more than a century, pilgrims and visitors have gathered at St. Anne's Shrine to honor St. Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary and grandmother of Jesus. The tradition of praying a novena dates back to the 9 days of prayer between Christ's ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today, novenas continue to be a cherished Catholic devotion, offering an opportunity for prayer, thanksgiving, healing, and spiritual renewal. Each evening of the novena includes, at 5:30 p.m., Statement of Reconciliation in the St. Anne Church Sacristy, at 6:30, rosary procession beginning at the Generation statue near the gift shop. At 7, a novena mass in the outdoor pavilion. This year's guest celebrants and participating communities include, on Thursday, July 23rd, the African community, represented by Reverend Enoch Kayerimatang. On Friday, July 24th, the Brazilian community, represented by Reverend Kleber de Paula. Then on Saturday, July 25th, the Cursillo movement. Reverend Donald Willett will speak for that community. The Feast of Saints Anne and Joachim will be celebrated on Sunday, July 26th, with, at noontime, a healing mass with anointing of the sick, celebrated by Reverend Salvatore Musande, A.A. At 7 in the evening, a closing liturgy featuring the parish choir, celebrated by Reverend Chi A. Wen, A.A., Provincial of the Assumptionists, North American Province. St. Anne is known as the patron saint of mothers, grandmothers, women in labor, and those seeking to conceive. As the grandmother of Jesus, she is a beloved figure to whom many bring their prayers, hopes, and intentions. For additional information, directions, or a complete novena schedule, visit www.stannstpatrickparish.com. Also upcoming, Overlook launches free summer concert series in Charlton. Music lovers have several opportunities to enjoy live outdoor performances this summer as the Overlook hosts its annual summer concert series on Tuesday evenings throughout July and into August. The free concerts will be held at 6 to 8 p.m. on the outdoor commons at the Overlook, 88 Masonic Home Road in Charlton, offering a variety of musical styles from jazz and brass to classic rock and blues. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and enjoy an evening of live entertainment with family and friends. In the event of rain, performances will move indoor to the Performing Arts Center. The Salty Sister Project Acoustic Trio will perform July 28th, offering an evening of acoustic favorites and harmonies. The series continues into August with The Reminiscence on August 4th, bringing audiences back to the golden era of 1950s and 1960s rock and roll. The final concert will be held August 11th, when the Luster Kings perform a mix of blues, rhythm and blues, and rockabilly music. The summer concert series has become a popular seasonal tradition, offering residents and visitors an opportunity to gather outdoors and enjoy live music in a relaxed setting. Admission is free and open to the public. For more information, you can call 508-403-4987 or visit overlookmass.org/events. For a slightly different slant on music, we have this story. Gateway Players celebrate music of Jimmy Buffett. Gateway Players Theater in Southbridge presents Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville, with book by Greg Garcia and Mike O'Malley, music and lyrics by Jimmy Buffett. Performance dates are July 31st and August 1st at 7:30 p.m. and on August 2nd at 2 p.m. at the Southbridge Middle High School Auditorium, 132 Torrey Road in Southbridge. Directed by Patricia Haddock, produced by Kathy Grenier, music director Chris Rubenacher, and choreographer Harley Packard. Presented by permission through special arrangement with Concord Theatricals, tickets are $20 for adults and $18 for seniors and youth under 18. Tickets may be reserved by calling Gateway at 508-764-4531. Online credit card ticket sales are also available. Contact Gateway Theater for that link. The cast includes Andrew St. George, Sarah Tonkin, Jonathan Martin, Abby Sampson, Billy Bolster, Gwen O'Brien, Peter Amaral, Chris Lamb, Asher McCoy, Sean Davis, Hillary Robertson, David Yutzler, Ray Petrelli, Sherry Cooper, Mari Cordero, and Emma Holtz, as well as Tiffany Betty and Lydia Wasnicki. A brief look at the story. On a small island in the Caribbean, vacation goers and the laid-back staff of the Margaritaville Bar flirt, unwind, and sip drinks under the sun. when an ambitious tourist named Rachel arrives with her friend Tammy for a much-needed vacation, she finds an unexpected romance with Tully, the island bartender and musician. As paradise collides with real life, both are faced with deciding what they want beyond the sandy beaches of Margaritaville. This tropical romantic comedy has plenty to laugh at and a sweet love story, all underscored by Jimmy Buffett's classic tunes, including Cheeseburger in Paradise, Margaritaville, It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, Finn's Volcano, and many more. With a book by Emmy Award winner Greg Garcia, who also wrote My Name is Earl and Raising Hope, and Emmy nominee Mike O'Malley, who has written Survivor's Remorse and Shameless, this hilarious, heartwarming musical is a party you've been waiting for. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Other events coming up: Hitchcock's summer concert series rocks Brimfield Town Common on Wednesday evenings. The Hitchcock Summer Concert Series, sponsored by Country Bank, will take place on Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. through August 19th on the Brimfield Town Common. In case of rain, concerts will be moved to Thursday. A food truck will be on site at each concert. Picnics are also welcome. Chairs and blankets are encouraged. The New England Digital Accordion Orchestra is scheduled for July 22nd. Conducted by Sam Falsetti, the nation's first digital accordion orchestra features about 20 musicians from across New England. Using state-of-the-art Roland digital accordions, the group replicates the sounds of various instruments like flutes, trumpets, and a rhythm section to showcase an impressive range of genres, including big band, Broadway, ethnic, country, and rock. BT's Smokehouse will return for that evening. July 29th is all about polka, with the return of the Eddie Foreman Orchestra, also known as EFO, a Western Massachusetts polka band that has been performing before audiences since 1968. Eddie Foreman started the band while he was still in high school and has been creating and recreating music ever since, garnering one of the largest polka followings in the New England area. Off the Hook will be the evening's featured food truck. August 5th brings the Brimfield debut of The Willies, a popular community-focused classic rock and Americana band based out of Belchertown. The band performs across the Western Mass region, playing high-energy hits from the 1950s through the 1980s, as well as modern country and rock standards. Flippin' the Bird Barbecue returns for this concert. Longtime series favorite Cobblestone Road of Connecticut returns on August 12th with High Energy Country. Well known throughout the region for playing modern and classic country hits from the 1990s to today, their energetic style mixes classic country with rock and blues. Smashing Patties will have their concert series debut on this evening. The series closes out on August 19th with Hard Knocks, a Westfield-based party, rock, and cover band known for their high-energy shows and forgotten classics set list. Instead of regular cover tunes, they play unique, underappreciated gems from the 70s and 80s, making them a fixture in the Western Massachusetts and Northern Connecticut music scenes. BT's Smokehouse will return to bookend this year's food truck lineup. Also during the month of July, Ruth Wells Center presents art by Laurie Boniface. The Ruth Wells Center for the Arts is excited to announce the July exhibit will be of works by Laurie Boniface. The galleries, located at 111 Main Street in Southbridge, will be filled with photographs, paintings, and jewelry. The galleries will be open Saturday and Sunday throughout the month. "Thanks for the privilege of allowing me to show my work," Boniface says. "I'm excited to focus on what I feel to be a new chapter in my life. How lucky I was as a child growing up on River Road in Sturbridge, with the woods, river, and ponds as our playground. My love of nature was nurtured by daily reality, creating camps, collecting specimens of every kind, full of wonder and observation of plants and animals of every description we came upon as we ranged. I loved the turtles, mushrooms, flowers, frogs, insects, and endless array of fauna and all walks of forest life. As an adult, antiquities became a focus. My life's work was creating jewelry from found parts. Providence, Rhode Island was the costume jewelry manufacturing capital of the world at the beginning of the 20th century, and I built my jewelry design studio using materials from old factories shuttering their doors after a century, creating a business that has sustained me and my helpmates over my lifetime. I believe we are all artists and creators. Our media vary and our talents are many. We are creators when we give ourselves permission to explore and experiment, when the process is more significant than the outcome, when we're executing our creations for the joy of creativity and not necessarily for gain. Our visions nourish both self and society. Now I return to the simplicity of painting. I'm an amateur, but challenged by the process and content attempting the portrayal. My brain chatters about impressionism and methodology and endless ideas, but hand to paper or canvas gives me an outlet of expression. Enjoy it. Laurie Boniface is well known as the guiding star of the beloved Sadie Greens in Sturbridge. To make a viewing appointment, please call 508-909-6155. For more information about the Ruth Wells Center, go to the website ruthwellscenter.com. Now we have the editorial that appears in this week's Southbridge Evening News. Tackling the stigma starts with showing up. Mental health can be difficult to talk about, especially for young people. Too often, those who are struggling remain silent because they fear judgment, embarrassment, or the possibility that others will not understand. That is why Tackle the Stigma 5K and 2.5K Rock Run at Shepherd Hill Regional High School deserves broad community support. The event, organized by the Shepherd Hill Cheerleaders and the Dudley-Charlton Regional School District community, will begin at 10 a.m. September 27th at the Shepherd Hill football field. The message is simple and important. Run toward awareness, stand for support, and tackle the stigma 1 mile at a time. That message matters because stigma remains one of the most stubborn barriers to mental health care. A person may recognize that something is wrong, yet hesitate to speak up out of concern about how friends, classmates, co-workers, or relatives will respond. Even when support is available, shame and fear can keep people from reaching for it. Community events cannot solve every mental health challenge. They can, however, change the atmosphere in which those challenges are discussed. When students, parents, educators, coaches, and residents gather for a shared purpose, they send a public message that mental wellness is not a private failure or a source of shame. It's part of overall health, and it deserves the same seriousness and compassion as any physical condition. The leadership shown by Shepherd Hill students is especially encouraging. Young people often understand the pressures facing their peers in ways adults do not. Academic expectations, athletics, social media, family responsibilities, and uncertainty about the future can create burdens that are difficult to see from the outside. By putting their name and energy behind this event, the cheerleaders are doing more than organizing a walk and run. They are helping create permission for honest conversations. That may be the most valuable result of all. A student who hears classmates speak openly about mental wellness may feel less alone. A parent may recognize the importance of checking in with a child. A teacher or coach may become more attentive to changes in behavior. A friend may find the courage to ask a difficult but necessary question. those moments can matter greatly. The community also has a responsibility to make sure that support for mental health does not end when the event is over. Awareness must be followed by action. Families should learn where local resources are available. Schools should continue fostering environments where students feel safe asking for help. Adults should model language that is compassionate rather than dismissive. Most of all, people should listen. There's a tendency to believe that the right response to someone who is struggling is to offer quick advice or reassurance. Often, the more helpful response is to give that person time, attention, and the confidence that their concerns are being taken seriously. The Tackle the Stigma event is an opportunity for Dudley, Charlton, and surrounding communities to demonstrate that kind of support publicly. Participants do not need to be competitive runners. They do not need to have personal experience with a mental health condition. They only need to understand that building a healthier community requires empathy and participation. Showing up at Shepherd Hill on September 27th will not erase stigma overnight. It will, however, add another voice to the growing recognition that mental health deserves openness, respect, and sustained community attention. Every mile, walked or run, will carry the same message. No one should have to struggle in silence, and no one should be made to feel ashamed for asking for help. And that's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. We have some student news for you from Willimantic, Connecticut. More than 800 Eastern Connecticut State University students received undergraduate and graduate degrees from the 2025-26 academic year, culminating this past May. Cooper Way of Charlton graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in English. We look to Worcester for our next story. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM, the Hanover Theater and Conservatory for the Performing Arts, and the Downtown Worcester Business Improvement District invite the community to celebrate summer at the 9th Annual Jazz Plus Live Concert, featuring the acclaimed Jump Blues and Rhythm and Blues band, The Love Dogs. The outdoor concert will take place on Friday, August 21st, behind the Hanover Theater in downtown Worcester. Gates open at 5 p.m., with the concert beginning at 6 p.m. For more than two decades, The Love Dogs, fronted by the charismatic Eddie Shear, have entertained audiences across the United States, Canada, and Europe with their irresistible blend of jump blues, New Orleans R&B, swing, and early rock and roll. The powerhouse horn section, boogie-woogie piano, soulful vocals, and infectious stage presence have made them one of New England's premier live bands and a favorite among music lovers of all ages. Jazz Plus Live has become one of Worcester's signature summer traditions because it brings together outstanding live music, strong community partnerships, and people who simply enjoy spending an evening together, said Melanie LaBeouf, Executive Director of WICN Public More Radio. At WICN, we believe music has the power to connect people. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs along with food and non-alcoholic beverages to enjoy during the performance. Food trucks and cash bars will be available throughout the evening. Outside alcohol is not permitted. General admission tickets are $30 in advance, $35 on the day of the event. Guests should bring their own lawn chairs. VIP front row tables for four are available for $175 per table, offering reserved seating with the best views of the stage. Tickets are available through the Hanover Theater box office and online at thehanovertheater.org. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Our next story, Internet Initiative in Southern Worcester County. Community Broadband Networks, or CBN, funded by the Massachusetts Broadband Institute, a division of the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, is pleased to announce the launch of its project within the Residential Retrofit Program, bringing affordable high-speed fiber internet service to residents across southern Worcester County. The initiative formally commenced with a go-live event on June 17th at 60 Charlton Street in Southbridge, the first property to receive CBN service under this transformative program. Supported by funding from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts through the American Rescue Plan Act's Capital Projects Fund, the Residential Retrofit Program is designed to deliver reliable, gigabit-capable broadband infrastructure to underserved multi-dwelling communities. This investment represents a significant step forward in expanding digital access and ensuring that residents in historically underserved areas have the connectivity necessary to participate fully in today's digital economy. The June 17th Go Live event celebrated the activation of service at the Southbridge Housing Authority property located at 60 Charlton Street. Residents had the opportunity to learn more about available service offerings, engage directly with the CBN team, and take advantage of early enrollment opportunities. The event also served as a community gathering to mark the beginning of a broader effort to modernize connectivity throughout the region. This launch represents a meaningful milestone not only for Southbridge, but for the entire region, said James Orioli, Chief Operating Officer of Community Broadband Networks. Our mission is to ensure that reliable, high-speed internet is both accessible and affordable for all residents. Through our partnership with MBI, we are proud to deliver critical infrastructure that will support education, workforce development, healthcare access, and overall quality of life for the communities we serve. The 60 Charlton Street deployment represents the first phase of a broader infrastructure initiative that will extend throughout South Worcester County, including communities such as Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Oxford, Webster, and surrounding areas. Construction across the project footprint is scheduled to occur through July of this year, this month, with phased service activations continuing thereafter as each location is completed. As part of the Residential Retrofit Program, CBN is deploying a fiber-to-the-premises network architecture within participating properties, enabling residents to access high-capacity, low-latency broadband service. The network is designed to deliver symmetrical gigabit speeds with scalability to support future increases in demand. In addition to infrastructure improvements, the program includes a strong emphasis on digital equity, ensuring that residents have not only access to service, but also the tools and support necessary to fully benefit from the connectivity. Through the Residential Retrofit Program, MBI is providing affordable and reliable access to help residents gain digital skills, apply for jobs, and access community resources, said MBI Director Michael Baldino. Our partnership with CBN across South Worcester County will uplift historically marginalized communities, narrowing the digital divide and expanding economic opportunity in region. The project includes enhancements to in-building infrastructure, expanded connectivity to individual residential units, and improvements to shared spaces to support reliable internet access throughout each property. These investments are intended to create a long-term, sustainable broadband solution that meets the needs of residents today while preparing communities for the future. The Go Live event at 60 Charlton Street marked the beginning of this broader regional deployment and underscores the shared commitment of CBN and MBI to closing the digital divide across Massachusetts. Community members interested in learning more about the service or upcoming availability are encouraged to contact Community Broadband Networks for additional information. Community Broadband Networks is dedicated to expanding access to reliable, affordable broadband services in underserved and unserved communities. Now we have some obituaries from the Southbridge Evening News. Robert Allen Bob Levite, 76, formerly of Fiskdale, passed away on June 1st while residing at Cedarbrook Village in Ware, Massachusetts, following a long battle with dementia. Born in 1949 in Steubenville, Ohio, Bob earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from The Ohio State University in 1972, a Juris Doctor from Boston College Law School in 1976, and later attended Vermont Law School. An environmental attorney dedicated to public service, Bob devoted his career to water resources, land protection, and environmental law throughout New England. He served in legal roles for the Vermont Water Resources Board, the Massachusetts Division of Energy Resources, and the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources. He also taught at Harvard Law School and supported the work of Mass Audubon, Opakum Land Trust, the Nashua River Watershed Association, the Littleton Conservation Trust, and served on the board of directors for the Kestrel Lands Trust. His work reflected a lifelong commitment to protecting the natural world he loved so deeply. Bob will be remembered for his intelligence, quick wit, generosity, and willingness to lend a helping hand. He had a curious mind, a sharp sense of humor, and an appreciation for life's simple pleasures. He found joy in hiking, camping, traveling, gardening, bird watching, music, chocolate, and spending time with the people and animals he loved. Some of his happiest adventures were motorcycle rides and RV trips shared with the love of his life, Deb. An animal lover throughout his life, he adored his Australian shepherd, Tula, who predeceased him, and shared a special bond with Tyka, who remained a treasured companion in his later years. Bob is survived by his beloved partner of 12 years, Deb Ciprari of Fiskdale, his sister-in-law and nephews. He was predeceased by his brother Bernie Levite and his sister Michelle Yoakum. The family extends its heartfelt gratitude to the compassionate caregivers and staff of Cedarbrook Village for the kindness, dignity, and support they provided to Bob throughout his residency. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Opakum Land Trust, Post Office Box 233, Sturbridge, Massachusetts, 01566. A celebration of life will be held at Cedarbrook Village, 73 South Street in Ware, on Friday, August 27th at 11 a.m. The next obituary, Bernard George Perry, 77, of Pinellas Park, Florida, died peacefully on June 30th with his loving wife Sue by his side after a lengthy battle with COPD and heart failure. Bernie was born in 1949 in Southbridge. He attended the former Coal Trade High School and Marion Hill CCHS in Southbridge. Bernie grew up with a passion for working on cars and amateur radio. He worked for years at Russell Harrington in Southbridge before becoming a bus driver and eventually retiring from Peter Pan Bus Lines after 21 years of employment. In his younger years, he was an on-call firefighter for the town of Southbridge. Later in life, he was an extra-class accredited volunteer examiner and national volunteer examiner coordinator with call sign KB3SMQ. Bernie enjoyed time with family and friends. He was always offering a listening ear and quick to make you laugh when it was needed the most. In 1996, he married the love of his life, Susan. Together, they enjoyed Sunday morning grocery shopping and traveling to different beaches in Maine, Maryland, and Florida. He is survived by his wife, Susan Perry, his children, Mark Perry and wife Deb of Munson, Crystal Palomino and husband Dan of St. Petersburg, Florida, and Brian Kearns and wife Stephanie of Nampa, Idaho. He's also survived by his grandchildren and his siblings, Louise Perry of Southbridge, Paul Perry and wife Diane of Dudley, Jean Linsky and husband Paul of Hampton, New Hampshire, and many nieces and nephews, as well as his beloved dogs, Charlie and Hank. A celebration of life will be planned by his family at a later date. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in his memory to Pinellas County Humane Society. We have an additional obituary, that of Raymond E. Lotter Sr., 83, of Dudley, who died at home with his family on July 6th. Ray was born on October 5th of 1942 in Upland, Pennsylvania. In the 1950s, Ray and his parents relocated to North Scituate, Rhode Island, where Ray was a 1961 graduate of Scituate High School. After high school, Ray entered the Coast Guard and proudly served his country for 4 years. In 1965, he married the love of his life, wife of 61 years, Geraldine Thurston. In 1969, they relocated with their daughter to a small house on a once-quiet road with a big yard in Dudley, where they proceeded to proudly add 7 sons to their family. The road was quiet no more. Besides his wife, Ray is survived by his 8 children, Jerry Nowicki and her husband Steve, Ray Jr. and his wife Linda, Kenny and wife Jen, Scott and his wife Lacey, Dennis, Glenn and his wife Jen, David with his wife Melissa, and Keith and his wife Amanda. Also his 20 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. He was so proud of his large, happy family. His great-grandchildren brought such great joy to him in his last days. Ray worked for many years as an auto mechanic in both Rhode Island and Massachusetts. He retired in 2011 as service manager for Knight Chevrolet in Southbridge. Ray took pride in a well-equipped basement workshop where he repaired and crafted many items. He enjoyed auditing the internet and keeping up with baseball, football, and NASCAR. He was a longtime Dudley Little League coach and director. He also took great pride in his model train set that was enjoyed by both his children and grandchildren every Christmas. The family extends a heartfelt thanks to Janira and Jess, his visiting angels, and Carrie, the family's health care advocate, along with the Veterans Association. These angels helped the family make Ray's last months comfortable and happy at home, where he wanted to be. A service was held on Friday, July 17th. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Veterans Association locally. That's the Webster Dudley Veterans Council, care of the Webster Veterans Home for Veterans Way in Webster, Massachusetts, 01570. Attention, Veterans Agent Stephen Rogerson. Now a column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, Financial Focus, written by Trevor Nielsen. This week's topic, debunking 5 common Social Security myths. Social Security is often one of the most important income sources in retirement, yet widespread myths about how it works can lead to confusion, unnecessary worry, and poor planning decisions. Here's the truth behind 5 of the most common misconceptions. Myth 1. Social Security is going broke. You've probably heard this one, but the full picture is more nuanced. According to the 2026 Social Security Board of Trustees report, if Congress does nothing, the program would need to reduce benefits starting in 2032, paying roughly 78 cents for every dollar owed. But that's just one scenario. Congress could raise the combined payroll tax from 12.4% to 16.65%, which the trustees estimate would secure full benefits through 2100. Other options include eliminating the earnings cap subject to payroll tax or adjusting retirement ages. Lawmakers have tools to address this. Myth number 2. Social Security will cover all your retirement needs. Think of Social Security as a financial foundation, not the full building. According to the Social Security Administration, benefits replace only 40% of pre-retirement income for a median earner. That means you likely need to account for most of your retirement income yourself. Building a strong personal savings strategy now can help close that gap. Myth number three, you lose benefits permanently if you keep working. Not true. Social Security does have an earnings test that can temporarily reduce benefits for people who claim early and keep working. If your earnings exceed a set annual cap, which changes each year, Social Security will withhold a portion of your benefits. But once you reach full retirement age, the Social Security Administration adjusts your monthly check higher to repay those withheld amounts over time. Myth number four, an ex-spouse's benefits come out of your own. If you were married for at least 10 years and are currently unmarried, your former spouse may be eligible to collect on your earnings record, or you may be able to collect on theirs. Divorced spouse benefits can be up to 50% of the other person's full retirement benefit. But those payments don't affect yours. Your monthly benefit is not reduced by anything paid to an ex-spouse or even a current spouse. And myth number five, Social Security benefits are no longer taxed. Recent legislation caused some confusion here. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act did not eliminate taxes on Social Security benefits. If your combined income exceeds certain thresholds, you'll still owe taxes on a portion of your benefits. The law also created a temporary deduction available through 2028 for people 65 and older. Eligible taxpayers can deduct $6,000 per qualifying filer if their modified adjusted gross income is $75,000 or less for singles or $150,000 for couples. The deduction phases out at $175,000 for singles and $250,000 for joint filers. The more you understand Social Security, the more control you have over your retirement income. Grounding your decisions in facts rather than assumptions can make a meaningful difference in your long-term financial security. This article was written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Please contact Trevor Nielsen, your local Edward Jones advisor in Sturbridge at 508-347-1420 or email trevor.nielsen, trevor.nielsen at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones and its financial advisors cannot provide tax advice. You should consult your qualified tax professional regarding your situation. Edward Jones is a member SIPC. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Our next story, QCC professor gives voice to formerly incarcerated in new documentary. What is it like to get out of prison and start over? QCC Professor of Criminal Justice Christy Glover spent her sabbatical researching this question and creating Voices of Justice, a documentary film that she produced, filmed, and edited herself. Voices of Justice features accounts from three men who have firsthand experience with the justice system. The documentary highlights how multiple support systems are critical for reentry, the period of time when individuals are transitioning out of incarceration. Support from family members, community organizations, and probation officers, along with raising awareness to reduce stigma, were all ways mentioned to reduce recidivism and influence personal and professional growth. There are so many things that we expect of individuals when they're just getting released. They have to get a job, pay their monthly supervision fees, and find a place to live. Glover witnessed the reentry process during her time as a parole officer for the state of Georgia, but the connection is also personal. Her grandfather encountered challenges when he was released from prison, which left a lasting impression on the family, including Glover's mother, who also joined law enforcement, eventually becoming a police captain. In the documentary, Glover interviews Mario Rivera, who spoke about his own reentry experience. Rivera praised Worcester area nonprofits such as Legendary Legacies and Open Sky Community Services for providing services such as counseling and assistance with obtaining a laptop and hygiene products. He also acknowledged his family as a large source of support. Without initial help in the first 60 days of me coming home, my progress wouldn't have taken off the way it did, Rivera said. Rivera didn't wait until he was released to start preparing. He completed QCC's Culinary Reentry Program, a partnership with the Worcester County Jail and House of Correction that teaches skills needed to work in food service and includes multiple certifications upon successful completion. In Voices of Justice, Rivera shared that during the program, he realized education was a vital part of his path to a new future. After his release, he enrolled at QCC and in the Liberal Arts for Returning Citizens program at Clark University. The culinary program has had a significant impact on hundreds of incarcerated individuals, said Worcester County Sheriff Lou Evangelitis. We are proud to have helped Mario build a successful path forward after incarceration. Anthony Bryant, who also appeared in Voices of Justice, has seen multiple sides of the criminal justice system. Before he was incarcerated, he held roles as a correction officer, a deputy sheriff, and a highway patrolman. Law enforcement is not just a job, it's your identity. And losing that role can produce deep internal shame, Bryant shared. Bryant, however, drew on his law enforcement training to stay calm and focused during his incarceration, using that discipline as a foundation for working to improve his life. As his release date approached, he didn't receive any reentry preparation from the prison, so he got ready by reading self-help books and journaling. After his sentence, Bryant relied on employment assistance programs, but he was often steered into manual labor positions that didn't reflect his skills, making it difficult to rebuild his professional career. In addition to family and community programs, both Bryant and Rivera said that a strong relationship with a probation or parole officer can make a positive difference. They noted that the stigma of having a criminal record can be detrimental to progress, but even one person who sees their past mistakes can be instrumental. They hope others can offer the same grace to those who are going through reentry. People change when their dignity is restored, responsibility is entrusted gradually, and their story is allowed to mean something more than their worst decision, Bryant remarked. It's a mindset shift that many people and legislators don't understand. Rivera and Bryant have also taken it upon themselves to help others with similar experiences. Bryant has become an ethics trainer for law enforcement and other public service organizations. Rivera has stayed connected with Legendary Legacies to educate others and advocate for those in the reentry process. I'm taking accountability in my own life for the things I've done, Rivera said. Some people might not be receptive to my situation, but I take it as motivation to do better. Voices of Justice can be viewed on YouTube.com. Now another column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, Lanterns Along Main Street, written by Charles, and the topic, The Last Place You Can Still Wander. There are fewer and fewer places these days where you can simply wander. Everything seems to have a purpose now. We drive to the store because we need something. We head to work because we have to. Even a walk is often measured by a smartwatch that reminds us how many steps we've taken, how fast we walked, and whether our heart rate was acceptable. Somehow, we've managed to turn wandering into another assignment. But every once in a while, I find myself in an old hardware store, not one of the giant warehouse places where you need a map to find a box of screws. I mean the kind of hardware store with wooden floors that creak just enough to let everyone know you've arrived. the place where shovels stand in one corner, fishing lures somehow occupy another, and there's always a mysterious shelf full of oddball parts that haven't changed since the Reagan administration. I never get through one of these stores in less than half an hour. It's impossible. You walk in looking for a hose washer, and suddenly you're examining cast-iron hooks that would look good in the garage. Then you notice birdseed on sale. Around the corner is a display of flashlights that makes you wonder if yours still works. Before long, you're comparing paintbrushes, even though you haven't painted anything in years. None of it is urgent. None of it was on my list. That's the beauty of it. When I was younger, I thought efficiency was the goal. Get in, get out, cross another errand off the list. Now I'm beginning to appreciate places that don't rush you. The best hardware stores aren't really selling tools, they're selling possibilities. You start imagining projects you'll probably never tackle. Maybe this is finally the year you'll repair that loose porch step. Perhaps you'll organize the workshop. You stand there holding a packet of vegetable seeds, briefly convinced you're about to become the sort of fellow who grows prize-winning tomatoes. Then your wife gently reminds you that the last basil plant barely survived because you kept forgetting to water it. She's usually right. What I enjoy most, though, are the conversations. Someone asks where to find a particular bolt, and another customer answers before an employee has the chance. Advice travels up and down the aisles as naturally as if everyone were old neighbors. Nobody seems bothered by the interruption. That doesn't happen very often anymore. In most places, people stare at their phones while waiting in line. At the hardware store, they're debating the best way to remove a stripped screw or whether oil-based stain still beats the newer products. Somehow, complete strangers become temporary teammates, united by what stubborn home repair brought them there. I suspect that's one reason these stores have survived when so many other small businesses haven't. They offer something that can't be delivered to your front porch in 2 days. They offer human nature. Of course, I rarely leave with only what I intended to buy. Somehow a $5 errand becomes a small bag full of things that might come in handy someday. My garage is living proof that someday hasn't arrived yet. Still, I don't regret it. These little detours through the aisles remind me that not every minute needs to be optimized. Not every trip needs to be timed. Sometimes it's enough simply to wander, discover something unexpected, exchange a few words with a stranger, and head home feeling like the afternoon was well spent. That's harder and harder to find, but honestly, I think we could still use a little more of that. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell, and I thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather forecast. For today, this is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we'll have thunderstorms early this afternoon, then clearing late this afternoon, highs near 85 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, lows getting down into the mid-50s. Now for your Thursday, is called for mostly sunny skies, less humid, highs up in the lower 80s. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-60s. And the outlook for Friday is calm for mostly sunny skies, highs Friday in the upper 80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy skies with a passing shower late, lows will be in the mid-60s. And the outlook for Saturday is calm for mostly sunny skies, nice on Saturday, but there is an outside chance of an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon. highs Saturday in the upper 80s. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today, Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying, have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Would you like to hear news from Clinton, Lancaster, Boylston, and West Boylston that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.